the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown are with us for their weekly take on events in America. And Cal, I want to start with you. The big thing that happened over the weekend, and we're focusing on it as well here, is the release of further millions of pages of documents related to Jeffrey Epstein and the amount of senior American business and political figures in these files. Is there anybody not tainted with their association with Jeffrey Epstein at this stage?
Well, I can say safely that I'm not, Ian. I'm happy not to be on that list. Never met the guy, never went to his island. But this is a bipartisan thing. They've even got George Mitchell on the list. And it's interesting for Irish listeners that the U.S.-Ireland Alliance has decided that the scholarship named for him will no longer bear his name, which I think is very unfortunate. I mean, here was a guy, along with Bill Clinton, who were instrumental in the Good Friday Agreement settling the conflict in Northern Ireland. And this is all hearsay and supposition. The FBI has not brought any charges against any of these people on the list. You can say anything about anybody. But let me just add one thing. This is why character is important. If you have good character, anybody saying something bad about you is likely not to be believed. But when you come to some of these people, especially the president, I'm sorry to say, Donald Trump, given his behavior, his three wives, his demeaning of women, his sexual exploits, allegations, and convictions, you can almost believe anything about him. So this is why character matters.
Marion, I was looking through some of these documents over the weekend, and you look at the names, and I could go through a list of dozens of people. Why were senior business people and politicians connecting themselves with somebody who was known in it was 2009 or 2008, his conviction? Why were they still associating with him afterwards, including people who wanted to go partying with him?
You know, this to me, Ian, is the absolutely, you know, $6 million question, or $6 trillion, since that seems to be the numbers we're talking in nowadays. You can, with a large pinch of salt, but, you know, if somebody says to you, I knew nothing about his crimes before 2008, before his guilty plea to a really specious charge that was a total fix, you know, the plea deal, which was disgraceful, but, and his prison sentence, you know, so before, we'll say July 2008, and then when he was released in, I think it was August 2009 for into house arrest, you could say anybody up on, you know, up, well, July 8th, certainly, that if they claimed they were shocked and appalled and they knew nothing, you could, you know, you could take their word for it in the absence of any convincing, you know, evidence to the contrary. But anybody who resumed contact with Epstein, anybody who spent their time, you know, fawning around him and gushing around him, pleading to be allowed back on his island, etc., etc., after 2009, there is no excuse. And just picking up on what Cal said about Senator George Mitchell there, I think, Cal, that when he was first, his name was first raised, certainly in 2019 in connection with Virginia Giuffre, I think most people, because he is a center of impeccable character, just said, no, there's no proof, and they carried on. I think what happened in the interim was that Senator Mitchell was, whether through intermediaries or otherwise, that there were contacts after between 2010 and 2015. And now he has come out and said, and a spokesman of his has said and emailed me directly, saying that while there were, you know, that he deflected and declined invitations during that period, but if you look through the files, it certainly indicates that there were communications between them, which he had not admitted to. So I think that that is an issue. And I'm not saying that nobody knows. The real problem and the tragedy for all of this is that because this has been so mishandled and so, and I, you know, I also blame the Biden administration for this. Why wasn't Merrick Garland looking into all of this? Why weren't proper investigations taking place? Now the whole thing, the whole well has been poisoned. No investigations will ever take place. And people who are innocent will have their names tainted, and people who are guilty will never be prosecuted.
Yeah.
So it's the worst of all possible world.
Yeah, Cal, because that's the thing. When you look at the consequence of this, who do we have? We've got Ghislaine Maxwell in jail. We've got Peter Mandelson, the former ambassador to America, has now had to resign from his membership of the House of Lords. You've got Prince Andrew no longer being a prince but still living in a mansion. We've got his ex-wife Sarah Ferguson looking around for a home. They are the people who are being held accountable, but we have potentially hundreds of victims of Jeffrey Epstein's over the years who are looking for accountability and justice, and they don't seem to be getting it. What's gone wrong with the American justice system here?
Well, Ian, this will not come as breaking news to you, but especially in Washington, but among the rich and the powerful, always manage to protect themselves. There's little accountability. People get away with things all the time. If you've got the money to hire wealthy or important lawyers and spend a lot of money on them. The other dirty little secret is that in Washington and among the wealthy on Wall Street and others, everybody seems to have something on somebody else. So if you rat out one person, they're likely to come and rat you out. That's why you don't rat out the other person and you just pretend that nothing is happening and I'm not guilty of anything and nobody will release anything on you.
Marion, two people who are being drawn into this is Bill Clinton, the former president, and his wife Hillary Clinton, who ran to be president and is the former Secretary of State. They have been dragged, kicking and screaming, to testify over their association or his association with Jeffrey Epstein. And they seem to be the focus of the Republican Party, yet nobody else is.
Yeah, you know what? And I think you're right, Ian, about the kicking and screaming bit. They certainly didn't want to go before Congress. But, you know, I say tough luck, basically. You know, they were, well, certainly Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton wasn't associated with Epstein. Nobody's claiming that in any meaningful way. She may have met him. Look, Epstein, as you said earlier, the number of people who wanted to be associated with this guy, it's just incredible, both before his conviction and then afterwards. We saw Elon Musk sucking up to him, trying to get onto the wildest party in the island. Was that 2010 or 2013? We saw emails from Sarah Ferguson, one saying marry me and another pouting that he wasn't paying her enough attention. That was again around 2013. All of these people knew, and I think, by the way, that Peter Mandelson should be, and I believe is being criminally investigated. I think it's entirely appropriate. But for the Clintons, look, Bill Clinton did fly on the Epstein jet. He was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Why not go before Congress if there is a subpoena and there is politicking going on here? And of course they're trying to deflect from Donald Trump, etc. And of course they want to make a big circus out of the Clintons. But you know, if there is a congressional subpoena issued, then you should appear. And you cannot say that, you know, people like Steve Bannon and Pete Navarro, they were found guilty of criminal contempt correctly in connection with January 6th and their refusal to appear. So you can't say, well, it's okay for them to go to prison, but I don't want to appear before this committee and I don't want any sanctions. The motivation may be murky as hell, but there's no reason he shouldn't turn up.
Cal, if Bill and Hillary Clinton testify or give depositions that are viewable to us, should other people, the likes of Elon Musk, should we look for Bill Clinton or Howard Lutnick or Steve Bannon or all of these other people, titans of Wall Street? I could go through a list of a dozen people who are household name billionaires. We could go through various other people who have had prominent links with him, that he was their tax advisor or their financial advisor. Should these people also be compelled to give evidence?
Well, there may be things that were done that are immoral, but something immoral is not necessarily illegal. There's a lot of hearsay. There are all kinds of other suggestions, allegations, whispers going on. These are private citizens, most of them that you mentioned, starting with Elon Musk. And unless something can be proved.
Well, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton are former public servants.
Well, they are, yes, but let's point out that there are Democrats on the House Oversight Committee and in the wider body of the House of Representatives that are also in favor of hearing from the Clintons and favored this subpoena. They only agreed to appear after the House Committee threatened a contempt of Congress motion against them, which would have been associated with criminal penalties. So they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart or some willingness to get to the bottom of all of this. They've been compelled to do it. And kudos to some of the Democrats who have stood up and said, yes, this needs to be done. So I think this is a bipartisan thing, and it will be interesting. I've got a column coming on this Thursday. All of the lies and parsing of words that Clinton has done over the years, and Hillary too, it's going to be interesting to see what they say in these depositions.
I'll put this to both of you, but I'll go to Marion with it first. Donald Trump must be loving all this attention on other people having to come out and either justify or deny or go through their records or get their spokespeople or lobbyists to play down these stories.
Oh, of course. And you know what? The thing is, OK, there is no evidence at the moment. Three and a half million files were released in a completely sloppy, haphazard manner. There was a compilation of an FBI tip sheet in which there were about a dozen allegations of, you know, various sexual assaults and other wrongdoing made against Donald Trump, tip sheets and witness statements that were unsubstantiated. Why they weren't investigated, I do not know. But anyway, that tip was only compiled last August. Trump was mentioned, I think, more than 5,700 times in this latest drop. There's a further 3 million files that have not been released. So Trump is by no means out of the water. And he may be thinking, oh, I'm off the hook now. They're looking at X, Y, and Z. But there are a couple of different groups. There are people against whom really serious allegations have been made. There are people who showed appalling, creepy judgment and hang around with Epstein. There are people who disgracefully got back and touched him and continued being his buddy after he was a registered sex offender. And then there are people who were just had the misfortune of public events of having their picture taken with him or who he mentioned in emails who had nothing to do with him. So I think it's important to distinguish between those groups as well. But you're right about Trump. He cannot wait to see the Clintons, I would imagine, dragged before Congress, and he can tweet about it on his Truth Social. Do they tweet on Truth Social? I don't know. But anyway,
Cal, just on this, will Donald Trump think that he's satisfied the base who wanted to see all of these files released and it hasn't really caused too much blowback for him?
Well, it's hard to say, Ian, but I would point out that a law was passed by Congress to release all of these files. Now, you say that, well, it was haphazard. Yeah, well, when you've got so many millions of files, all to be released at once, plus you have to redact some of the names of the innocent people so as not to involve them in this any more than they already are, at least in the public arena, then it's going to be haphazard in some ways. So that's one thing. The other thing is, we still haven't seen any charges brought to anybody. Now, sex with underage girls is a crime, no question about it. But can the Justice Department, can the FBI do an investigation that proves beyond a reasonable doubt that these charges ought to be brought to trial? And where would they be brought to trial? Would they be brought in the Virgin Islands, or would they be brought in Miami or New York or Washington or wherever?
Well, perhaps if they started looking and doing proper investigations by using the files, we might actually get to the bottom of that. I want to move on to something else, because Marion, you have been focusing on the November midterms elections in the US for quite some time now. And it is, I think, your belief that Donald Trump is doing everything to avoid losing seats in them.
Oh, yeah, because if he does lose, and they're on course to lose and lose badly, if it's a free and fair election, certainly the Republicans are on course to lose the House. I don't know about the Senate, but absolutely the House.
And he's been talking openly about the voting procedures.
I honestly, Ian, I've maintained from the get-go that the Minnesota, Minneapolis operation, all of the others are a softening up of the ground. It's to get people, Americans, used to having federal thugs on the streets in blue states and in blue cities and terrorizing people and being allowed to just do what they want, in much in the way that they sent 3,000 federal immigration agents into Minneapolis, and we saw the appalling results of that. So we heard Trump in an interview with Dan Bongino, his former deputy FBI director, until he realized he hadn't a clue what he was doing and went back to his podcast. He did an interview with him in which he called on the Republican Party to nationalize voting in the United States, presumably in reference to the midterms, which is a shocking thing for a president to say, saying that Republican officials should take over voting procedures in 15 states. I assume he's referring to blue states there. And he's also, we saw this bizarre scenario in Fulton County, which was, of course, ground zero in 2020, when Trump claimed that Georgia, there was a mass amount of fraud in Georgia, and that's how Biden won. The Republican governor and Secretary of State in Georgia pushed back and said, no, we had recounts. Everything was done properly. He sent in the FBI to raid the Fulton County election office last week. And with, if anybody's wondering where Tulsi Gabbard is, who was the director of national intelligence, who's been completely ostracized for weeks now. The only picture we saw of her was doing yoga on a beach in Hawaii. Well, she was in incognito there with a baseball cap pulled over her head. And apparently now she is investigating, reopening or opening an investigation into 2020 election fraud, which is ludicrous because 60 different courts said there was no fraud. So this all, to my mind, you have Pam Bondi demanding election rolls from states like Minnesota, and you have this push by Trump to ensure, to, you know, I don't have a problem with people having to have appropriate ID to vote. I don't see anything wrong with that. People should have some form of ID. It should be a form that's accessible and easy to get, but they're trying to bring in really stringent new ID laws. But also, I think the plan would be to get, Trump could declare a national emergency a couple of days before the election, surge federal troops and National Guard and even military into blue states, and then just terrify people into not going to vote. And I think that this is probably part of his plan because he does not want to lose these elections. And I think it's something people should be taking very, very seriously.
Cal?
Wow, wow, wow. There's a lot there to unpack. I'm not sure we have enough.
Sorry,
time.
Cal.
I'm going to put aside Minnesota and not mention how other states are cooperating with ICE and getting these illegal criminal aliens out of the country. But I will talk about nationalizing elections. The founders put into a system in our Constitution that elections would be state and local, except for the one national election every 4 years for the president. But even in those elections, there are state and local for Senate and House races. Mostly when politicians talk about nationalizing an election, they're talking about issues. In this case, it would be immigration, the economy, social issues that have not played well for Democrats in the past. But I agree with Marianne, there can be absolutely no excuse for interfering with state and local elections. I think she's going too far with the idea of troops in the streets and all of this, but and I also think that there's a very good possibility that the Republicans will gain seats in the House, but it's a long way to November, so let's see what happens.
Before we move on to some of the other items I want to put to you both, we just had a text in from one of our listeners on those Epstein files. Ian, they redacted the names of, quote, innocent people, but forgot to redact the names and details of actual victims of Epstein. That tells you everything you need to know about where the FBI's focus was on. Thank you very much for that. Keep them coming in, 087-4100-102. Cal, I want to move on to something else because I think this might be right up your street given your knowledge of Washington, D.C. When the next time I come to visit, Cal, will I be able to see a new arch, a 250-foot arch dedicated to Donald Trump?
Yeah, this is in Paris and the Arc de Triomphe.
Which is beautiful.
He is no architect. And I don't like his idea of closing the Kennedy Center, by the way, for 2 years for alleged renovation. He is not an architect. He is not an artist. Other than his show The Apprentice, which got some good ratings, but that had more to do with his personality than his talent, frankly. The beauty of Washington is its simplicity. The Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, all based on historical and Greek and Roman architecture and other influences of the past. What he wants to do would be an abomination. It would be ugly, it would be overreach, and there's absolutely no need for it. I've been over that bridge hundreds, maybe thousands of times, and the beauty of it is you approach from one side, the Lincoln Memorial is astounding, and from the other side, you have the Arlington Cemetery with the eternal flame of John F. Kennedy's grave and the Custis Mansion at the top. It doesn't need any tampering.
Hear, hear, Cal. I think many people would agree with
absolutely
that.
Agree.
You'll be my tour guide next time. Marianne, do you owe Melania Trump an apology? Because we're looking at figures here now about the documentary, which everybody mocked.
Me personally.
$7 million at the box office on its opening weekend. And apparently there were cinemas where it was sold out. We were all, and sorry, I wasn't scoffing at it. I think you were, Marianne.
Well, okay, in the interest of full disclosure, this afternoon, it was a bleak rainy day in Dublin, but that's no excuse because in order to talk about it in any way, I decided that I would go and see it. So I have donated €14.95 for that tally, much against my better judgment. And I would say to anybody who's thinking of doing so, go and buy a pint for yourself and a friend. It'll cost about the same and it'll be a lot more fun. Yeah, you know what? It doesn't surprise me. Red states, you know, in the cinemas in red states, there are like 77 million people voted for Donald Trump in 2024. Now, you know, if you get even, I don't know, what, 1% of those and they're paying $12 a ticket, that's going to cover it. But if you look at she could care less about the international data, but the cinema I was in, there was one other person, an elderly gentleman who seemed to be quite a fan of Melania's, and that was it. I think that there was no reason for this to be made. It's a grift. It was a $28 million bribe from Jeff Bezos, basically, that she was paid $28 million to basically walk around and make the most anodyne pronouncements you can possibly imagine. It is beyond boring. I would rather watch anything dry on a wall. Don't go through that again.
Cal, have you added to it?
Well, I'm really disappointed, Marion, because I was going to invite you as my date and buy the popcorn.
Oh, Cal, for a drink instead.
Look, I've seen the excerpts. I've seen her interviewed on Fox and other networks, and it makes Bland look like something really tasty. I don't care what she thinks, frankly. Look, do I think that she has been unfairly maligned by a lot of the media, ignored by the fashion magazines when Michelle Obama was on the cover of so many of them in these puff piece articles? Yes, but that's another issue. I agree with Marion. I think $28 million is grift. She says nothing of importance. There are no great revelations in it. It's all about her, but then, you know, it's all about her husband too.
Somehow, I don't think I'll get around to seeing it before it leaves the cinema screens over here. Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you very much for joining us. As always, we'll talk to you in a week's time.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.